Article 57 of the Kenyan Constitution commands the state and the family to offer older persons in the society reasonable care and assistance. As per the Constitution, older women and men are those who have attained the age of 60. But how has the state and the Kenyan families played this role? I am Maura Obiria, and this is Nation Reports Podcast. In this podcast, I speak to 77-year-old Monica Njeri Kamau, who lives in Dagoretti South, an urban settlement in Nairobi City County. She tells it all in Kiswahili, translated into English after the conversation.
Kwa majina naitwa Monica Njeri Kamau, na hapa ni Ruta Satellite, hapa diyo kwa gunubani, Dagoretti County. Hapa diyo nakaa, na nimekaa nakaa peke
yangu. In this conversation, Monica says she lives alone. Her husband died in 1982, leaving her with 7 children, 5 daughters and 2 sons, who have since become adults and left home. In 2018, she registered for older persons cash transfer under the Kenyan government's Inua Jamii program. Inua Jamii is Kiswahili for uplift a community or family. She says in the years before, it could take months before they received the money. She says this changed beginning this year as they started receiving 2,000 shillings every month. She says, however, it's too little. It cannot afford them a balanced diet. They need to remain strong and healthy. She says a cash transfer of at least 5,000 shillings could be enough to buy the nutritious food they need for the month. She also says children have become so disrespectful of their elderly parents that they have branded them nagging parents, only calling them to ask for money whenever they call them to check on them. She adds, children have become so disrespectful of their elderly parents that they have branded them nagging parents, only calling to ask for money, even when they call them to just check on them. She complains that public service vehicles operators are cruel and inconsiderate of the elderly people, describing booming sounds of the loud music played in these vehicles, deafening and makes her head go into a whirlwind. She pleads with the government to stop the operators from playing the loud music. She also says the doorsteps of the public service vehicles are too high, making it hard for the elderly to get into the vehicles without a struggle. And when they get into the vehicle, the drivers quickly drive off without waiting for them to sit. A habit, she says, is cruel to the older women and men. These circumstances, she says, force her to take a private vehicle when she has money.
Na ni nyinyi serikali mnatufanya hivyo. Kwa maana sisi ni wenu. Sisi ni kama watoto yenu. Vile mtu ako na watoto wadogo, anaangalia kuwapeleka shule, anashika mkono, anashika wapi. Nyinyi na nyinyi mtusikirie namna hiyo. Mtusaidie na hiyo haina ya kupatia transport.
Dr. Gloria Langat, Head of Aging and Development at the African Population and Health Research Center, warns that neglecting older persons in the society is costly to an economy.
I'm Gloria Chepngeno Langat, a researcher at the African Population and Health Research Center. So my background is in demography, but I've specialized in gerontology for the past 15 years. So gerontology really is the study of the social aspects of aging, and particularly focusing on aging in the Africa context. Older people are I'll be talking about people who are 60 years or older, because that is the age that is used by the African Union to define older persons, and I think it's also the age that is used in Kenya. So if a population is not actively engaged in the labor force and contributing to the economy, then it means that they are dependent on those who are contributing or who are actively in the workforce. So neglecting older people by excluding them from active participation means that they are a dependent group. So the dependency ratio is high in the economy, and so you have to cater for this group and provide for them financially. So for instance, the Inua Jamii scheme provides a small stipend, I'll call it a stipend, to older people over the age of 70 in Kenya, so that they at least have some form of income. So if we neglected these people, it means that we will have a very large proportion of people who are living in poverty or who are very vulnerable to poor outcomes, particularly financial. So for me, I would really
aware of the challenges that the older persons face. Various organizations have partnered with the Ministry of Social Protection to close the loopholes. One of these organizations is HelpAge International. I seek to establish what they have done.
My name is Lydia Makena Misheni. I am the programs officer, HelpAge International Kenya. I have been the program lead for the AFD Inua Jamii 70 Plus project, which was basically an innovations in social protection, trying to increase accessibility to the Inua Jamii cash transfer 70 plus for marginalized older persons living in an urban area, and that is Nairobi County. This project has been running since 2019 up to 2024 this year, that will be coming to an end. That has been 5 years. HelpAge International Kenya, we are a global network, a global movement, or a global network of older persons that we are across 92 countries with over 170 network members globally. In Kenya, we have 13 network members. These are organizations of older persons across the country. But apart from that as well, we collaborate with other partners, including the Ministry of Labor and Social Protection, Ministry of Health. We collaborate with academia, that is University of Nairobi Population Studies Research Institute. We collaborate with the county governments, including the Nairobi County, who we are supporting to develop a county policy, an older person's policy for Nairobi County. The AFD Inua Jamii 70 Plus project came in when there was a presidential declaration in 2018. It was a strategy. Maybe social protection is sometimes used as a strategy to win elections. So the government at that time announced, gave a presidential declaration that should the government come in power, that all older persons, 70 years and above, there will be the introduction of a universal pensions program for 70 plus. And not only would it be universal, it would also be tied with the medical cover. It would be tied with NHIF. But then the older person would be receiving the Inua Jamii cash transfer and be able to still use the same card to receive cash transfer. However, this was just a presidential declaration, but it helped us get the project. So this project was coming then to first ensure increased accessibility to the cash transfer. It is one thing to say it is universal and that everybody 70 years can get it, But it is another thing that actually everybody who is eligible is well registered and is actually accessing the cash transfer. So the Inua Jamii 70 Plus in the project location, it was meant that it would support or it would increase accessibility to the Inua Jamii cash transfer. The second objective of the project was that there would be increased capacity building of the duty bearers. Of the duty bearers for Inua Jamii cash transfer. These are the technical officers, the government officers responsible for the mechanisms of the cash transfer, that they would be more accountable and more responsive to the needs of the beneficiaries. And the third objective then was capacity and learning, that this project would also support in generation of much needed research and evidence on social protection and practices among older persons, and linking it up as well with well-being of older persons, particularly those ones living in an urban area. And why this? Because then aging in an urban setup comes with its own myriad of challenges. For example, the need for consistent payment of rent, need for cost of living is quite high, especially without an income. Then in a space where that also at that particular age, then it's also very difficult to get a source of income or a job. Then these challenges then this myriad of challenges then expose an older person living in an urban setup to more vulnerabilities to poverty. In terms of increasing accessibility, the first thing we did was formation of bringing together older persons living together within the same community, to bring them together to know each other while addressing the issues of loneliness and them abandonment. You bring them together and you create a platform to educate them on their rights and entitlements. When they are empowered, they also have a stronger voice together as compared to when you are alone. Another way for us to increase accessibility was for the ones that were registered and were not receiving cash transfer. The process was they did register, they probably got the first payment, but they did not get the second payment. There was issues of follow-up. Sometimes maybe the identification documents did not match with the information that was on the portals. Sometimes maybe the bank details were missing or the bank account. Maybe the older person did not recall which bank account they opened to. So such support, you know, follow-up of specific individual cases that probably another person was receiving the cash transfer and now they no longer are able to follow up. So or they are not longer able to access it. So in collaboration with the CBOs, that is Karika and Kibera, in collaboration with that CBO and also closely working with the social development officers on the ground, then we were able to address or to mitigate some of these issues. We also conducted several training to the social development officers who are responsible to who engage these beneficiaries on a day-to-day basis, and they also oversight the beneficiary welfare committee that relay or a platform for complaints and grievances on issues that the beneficiaries face when accessing the Inua Jamii cash transfer.
Although the Inua Jamii and its related interventions are contributing to the improved well-being of the aging women and men in Kenya, one thing remains constant. There is much more to be done to ensure the older persons in every household and community fully enjoy their rights. This story was written and narrated by Maura Obiria. The podcast was produced by Kevin Maina. Special credit goes to James Smart, Managing Editor, Newsroom Production, and Dorcas Moga Odumbe, Gender and Education Editor.